This is an audio archive edition of WINA's Charlottesville Right Now with Coy Barefoot, made available online by the Charlottesville Podcasting Network, cvillepodcast.com.
Tim Longo joins me live in studio. He is chief of police for the city of Charlottesville. It's good to see you. Thank you for coming
good
in.
Good to see you, Coy. Thanks for having me.
We want to talk about safety on the downtown mall. It's that time of year where we start hearing more about attacks, and we recently had a request from business owners on the downtown mall that the city reconsider installing cameras around the mall, specifically for safety of their patrons. Before we get to that, though, the obvious elephant in the room here, I guess, is the recent tragic murder of University of Virginia fourth-year student Yardley Love. And I just want to say that, you know, when we ask you and the folks that work with you to serve on the front line in our community and to serve our community, people may not know how difficult some of these days can be for you and your men and women. And I'm just sure that some of your folks have had some hard days working this awful, awful case. And I just want to thank you and thank the folks who work with you and serve this community for being there on that front line in this this tragedy in our community.
Well, you know, I spoke to a graduating class at a regional police academy last week, and one of the things I told them is that we have the great privilege in this business of ours to be the intercessor on the sidelines of the best and worst times of people's lives, and that intercession can make a difference in helping a family get through times that are just unthinkable. And part of our job is to help do that in this process as well, and to work with people to help the families of both of these young people know what to expect tomorrow and in the weeks and months and years to come as a result of this terrible tragedy.
Yeah. And we should acknowledge the fact that, you know, Hughley's family is devastated as well. They did not lose a child, but they have a life of devastation ahead of them as well.
Yeah, no one of us can understand exactly what they're feeling, but for those of us who are parents, we can only imagine what they must be going through, both of them.
Yeah.
Dealing with this.
So the downtown mall, now what was, get us up to speed. I guess the best place to start is the fact that, you know, it seems like in the summer we hear these news reports that we don't hear about in the winter because, you know, oftentimes kids are out of school and it's kids that are often involved in this kind of thing of attacking people on the mall. I think in past years it's been worse, but occasionally we still hear about this, and it's obviously a concern of business owners downtown, or they wouldn't have asked the city to install cameras specifically to make it safer for people down there at certain hours. I remember when I moved here in 89, the downtown mall could be a very dangerous place. I mean, there wasn't that much down there at night. And, it was much more dangerous than it is now. Talk about that context as we explore safety on the downtown mall.
Well, let's put it in perspective. The reason why you hear more of any activity that's occurring on the mall this time of the year is because the weather's changing. Fridays after five has begun. More people are on the mall on a given weekend. And so obviously there's more likelihood for things to take place. What we have seen in the past couple of weeks is large numbers of young people who are coming down on the mall, largely unsupervised on a Friday night. And so the first question that comes to my mind is, where are your parents? Why is a family willing to use the downtown mall as a daycare center on a Friday evening and to not be thoughtful about that? So our job is to make sure that we manage those crowds, and kids are part of that. And we're in the process of putting together a plan at the request of business owners, but also through our own observations of what we see on the mall when we're there on Friday night, to put together a plan that's going to help improve the safety and perception of safety on the mall, not just for the merchants, but for folks to come and visit and enjoy the mall.
Yeah, I mean, you want the kids to be able to go to the mall. You certainly don't want to say,
absolutely,
you know, you can't come to the mall if you're not of a certain age, or, you know, you don't want that. You want them, the community, to be open to them, but you also want them to know that there's some standards for how you act in public.
Absolutely. There are rules of engagement throughout life, and part of those rules is that you respect other people and behave in such a way that you don't create a disruption or put others at risk by your bad behavior. And I think that's where parents come into play here. And that is to, you know, when your 13 or 14 or 15-year-old is going down on the mall on a Friday night, one, I expect you to be there. But if you're not there and they're there by themselves, that they understand that there's a code a behavior that comes with the common courtesies of life, and that is that's the way we expect you to behave. Otherwise, there's going to be consequences.
We're talking with Tim Longo. He is chief of police for the city of Charlottesville, and the phone lines are open at 977-1070. Join the conversation, won't you? 977-1070. What were your thoughts when you heard that the downtown business owners had asked the city to look at, to explore this idea of installing cameras, something you had done a few years before, related to, you know, the basic same reason, you know, safety on the mall?
Well, I wasn't part of the conversation that recently took place. I believe it came up at a stakeholders meeting, so I heard about it kind of after the fact, and I wasn't surprised by it. I think that business owners, they have an investment to protect, as we have an investment to protect, and all that we've invested in the downtown mall. And we've talked about the cameras being a mechanism by which could be part of a bigger scheme of ensuring a safe environment. So I wasn't surprised that the issue came up again. I think that business owners are really looking to see that the city step up, and the police department included, to put together a plan that's going to help protect the interests of those business owners and all the investment we have on the mall.
So what do you think is the key to the safety in a public place like our downtown mall? Is it cameras? Is it more police officers? What's the solution that we should be considering?
You know, personally, I think it's a combination of many things. If this were an hour-long dialogue, then we could talk about the cameras, but time's too short. And
we have plenty of time. You talk as long as you want.
That's a completely different topic, but I do think the plan has to be comprehensive. I've proposed a plan that just recently is I call it a hybrid. It's taking sworn law enforcement officers and ambassadors, public safety ambassadors for the city, which would be civilians that would come and work hand in hand with police and be that extra set of eyes and ears and have the ability to communicate by radio when things kind of erupt in their presence, similar to what you see in other cities such as Baltimore. Calls it the downtown partnership has a safety and also maintenance component to that. Washington, D.C. has a safety and maintenance component that has public safety ambassadors.
They had the same thing at William & Mary when I was a student.
Yes.
And I was one of those, just student patrols. And, you know, we got some training and I got a walkie-talkie and we walked a certain quadrant in a certain area at night.
Yeah, you wear a uniform so that you're visible. Visibility, people need to feel safe. They need to see things. In this case, extra cops on the mall walking on a Friday night, 6 to 8 is what we have deployed there on any given Friday night here in recent past, makes people feel more comfortable when they look and they see the presence of that uniform. If you can multiply that presence with these public safety ambassadors or guides, I think that goes a long way in helping to create a safe environment. And if you can supplement that with additional technology and tools, I think you should look at that in a very serious way. But it's that takes a discussion in a different direction, I think, for people.
We're talking with Tim Longo of the City of Charlottesville Police Department. We're going to take a quick 2-minute break and continue this conversation. The phone lines are open for you at 977-1070. We're talking with Tim Longo. He is the chief of police for the City of Charlottesville, and Julia is waiting patiently on line one in Charlottesville. Julia, you're on the program. Go right ahead.
Oh, hello, Corey, and hello, Chief Longo. I phoned because I wanted to share something with you. We had a son who was at the University of Georgia, and in Athens, where sort of the main street divides town and down, the college is on one side of the street, and the town is on the other, and it's just beautiful and charming and wonderful, and everything works real well, as it does here. But they have come upon a solution to crowd control in Athens on the main street and probably in some other places too, but mainly in the main, and that is horses. They have the horse-mounted police, and it's just magical. People just respect the police and the horses so much that it works. It's very, very calm, and everyone's very nice and very polite, and we were there a lot of times when our son was in school there and found it and found it a wonderful solution.
Julia,
and
thank you for the call. Let's get Chief Longo a chance to respond to that. The use of horses, that's not a new thing for Charlottesville. I've seen the mounted police here before, right?
It's certainly not a new thing for Charlottesville. We've not had horses in the 9 years that I've been here. They've suspended the program probably a few years prior to my arriving here. You know, in Baltimore, we had a very large mounted unit. I utilized a mounted unit many times, and particularly when I was commander of the Southeast in the Fells Point area, and we had to disperse crowds at large events. And even when we weren't using them as a crowd control tool, they were also a great community relations tool because people love horses, particularly in this community. And they're massive animals, too, so they get a lot of respect.
And you'll see, in terms of community relations, you'll see kids walking up to police officers where you might not see that every time.
That's correct.
You
know? Yeah.
But any chance that that would come back?
You know,
is it just funding? Or I
can't answer as to why it was suspended to begin with. My guess is it may have been a funding issue, but I also understand that many of the services around those horses were donated at the time, whether it be veterinarian services, food, lodging for the horses. You have to certainly have staff to be able to care for the horses when you have them. And if that was a discussion that council wanted to pursue, it certainly would be a staffing issue. It would change the table of organization of the department. Maybe that's a good thing, particularly in this point in time. It's certainly something we'd be willing to sit down and talk about, because I do agree that they're a very effective tool for a variety of different reasons.
We're talking with Tim Longo, Chief of Police for the City of Charlottesville, and Phyllis is in Albemarle County. She's on the program. Phyllis, go right ahead.
Thank you so much for all you're doing, Chief, and
Phyllis.
Your folks. And okay. An ounce of prevention worth a pound of cure, of course. And you're talking about a multifaceted approach. Wonderful. If there are many kids that you're worried about, may I suggest something you may have already thought of? A brochure with cartoon characters saying no to this on the downtown mall, drinking and pushing and, you know, being impolite to older folks or anybody, you know. And yes, doing this, that, since kids are so used today to seeing, you know, as well, not just hearing. If their teachers say, just be good on the downtown mall, that's not the same thing as adults and young people talking about it in all the schools and, you know, some sort of colorful brochure. I'd be willing to give a contribution towards it. As an educator, I really see importance. What do you think?
I think it's a great idea. There's a local gentleman here in Charlottesville who is very much has a program very much like you've just described that talks to kids about before you do a certain thing, just think. Use your head. Think about consequences. And he does it using a cartoon character. And it's very powerful to see. And we've had a discussion as recent as today about talking to school administrators about helping us share that message. But also going a step further and being part of the solution that's on the mall on a Friday evening. I've seen the way kids react to when they see their teacher, their coach, or their guidance counselor on the mall. You know, my wife did a little volunteer work at our local elementary school, and I've seen her able to call kids out and watch them respond to that. And it's very different than they would respond to me, I can tell you that.
Phyllis, thank you for the call. Appreciate you joining the program. We got a line open, 977-1070. We're talking with Tim Longo. But do you think most of these kids know right and wrong, and it's just a matter of they choose to you know, be jerks sometime and cause a little havoc on the mall?
I think they understand what's the difference between the right thing and the wrong thing. I don't think they appreciate the consequences associated with the wrong thing. And I'm not sure we always see the consequences get delivered the way that they should. And I'm not going to critique the juvenile justice system, but I do think there's a time when the consequences have to be swift, that they have to be certain, and they have to be meaningful. And if the child knows if he acts in a particular way that there will be law enforcement intervention and there'll be consequences for his or her actions, and frankly, it's time to start talking about those consequences going back to the parent as well, who ultimately has responsibility, in my opinion, for how their child behaves.
Yeah, I mean, it's the parent's job to educate the child that I say that to my kids all the time. Your behavior has consequences. You have a decision right now.
That's right.
You can do this and this will happen, or you do this and this will happen.
Right.
And then I let them make the decision. We had a caller off air who asked about the curfew in Charlottesville. Is there one now? Because I remember years ago there was the court case, and is that what's the story on any kind of curfew?
Yeah, there is a curfew presently by city ordinance. We talked as recent as today in a meeting about maybe looking at the hours of that curfew, but there are many exceptions to that curfew. Part of those exceptions include is the child working at the time? Are they accompanied by someone over the age of 18? Are they involved in a school, church, or civic sponsored activity such as the recreation center adjacent to the downtown mall? There's all these exceptions and issues that sometimes make the curfew difficult to enforce or to utilize as an effective tool. Nonetheless, it's something I think we need to take a closer look at, particularly as it relates to the commercial areas downtown that get very populated.
Yeah,
on weekends.
Absolutely. Before we let you go, any new news coming out of the department? Anything going on right now?
No. You know, one thing I'm very just thrilled about is we did a process, an employment process over the past several weeks, and I interviewed 26 applicants last week and a really tremendous pool of applicants. And we're excited about filling the positions that we have. And if it looks like it's time to expand the department's table of organization, it's comforting to know that we have people in the wings that are talented and ready to step forward and serve the community.
That's really encouraging.
Yes,
for all of us here, that you got a real quality class of folks who want to participate and serve this community.
And we have a quality group of people that do it every day now, and I'm exceptionally proud to be part of their team.
Tim Longo, he is the chief of police for the city of Charlottesville. Thank you so much for your service to our community.
Thanks for having me.
You've been listening to Charlottesville Right Now with Coy Barefoot. Charlottesville Right Now is broadcast live Monday through Friday on News Radio 1070 WINA from 4 to 6 p.m. Best-selling author and historian Coy Barefoot is the host and producer. To interact with Coy and his guests, you can call 434-977-1070. Coy can be reached at barefoot@wina.com. This audio download has been made possible by the Charlottesville Podcasting Network. Visit SevillePodcast.com for more.